And while you're turning there, I'm going to tell you a story. Maybe a couple of stories. We have four kids at home, my wife and I. We have four kids. Dara is 10, Ashla is 7 and a half, Ella is 6, and Aiden is 3. We were trying to teach our kids about the kingdom of God. And we're trying to teach them in a way that they grow up with a different mindset, with a different perspective than what I grew up with. And one of the ways that we do this is, well, we tell them the truth of the kingdom. But one of the things that we do now that's a little bit, I think it's great. But I ask them, I said, where is the kingdom of God? And Ella, who's 6, sticks her hands up like this, because the kingdom of God is at hand. She knows that. And Ashla, she says, well, the kingdom of God is here, and it's here. Because again, she knows that. This is what we teach them, that the kingdom of God is here, and it's here. And the kingdom of God is expressed through the words that we say, and by the things that we do. The kingdom of God is not some nebulous thing out there in the clouds somewhere. The kingdom of God is here among us. The kingdom of heaven is here within hand's reach, within arm's reach. So it's expressed by the words that we say and by the things that we do. Aiden is 3. And we have, you know, again, we're trying to teach him all kinds of things. You might know this song. It's generally associated with children's ministries. Jesus Loves Me. Now, I grew up singing the song in America all the time. Jesus loves me, this I know. Great, good, we know it. Well, this is just a song that we've taught all the kids, and Aiden is a real he's a real singer. He's a real, you know, he's got loads of music flowing through him. But there was one time about six months ago or so, we were with somebody and we were praying for them. We were praying for healing for them, and Aiden walked into the room, and he saw us all standing there, you know, hands on, and he just looks. And I just said, Aiden, we're praying. Do you want to pray? And he says, he comes up, puts a hand, he's 2 and a half at this stage, puts a hand on it and starts singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And I mean, we all, you know, it's cute, isn't that great? But there was breakthrough in that prayer. That's when the person said, the pain is gone. And Aiden, then a few days later, he slammed, you know, they're playing hide and seek, all the kids, and, you know, he's hiding behind the door, one of them comes in, you know, and his fingers are caught, and and he comes running down into the kitchen, and he's in pain. You can see his finger, it's swollen, and we're like, oh, dog. And he starts running around on the floor, on the kitchen, running. Now, he's not jumping up and down, he's running in circles. And he says, my finger hurt, my finger, Jesus takes my pain away, Jesus takes my pain away, Jesus takes my pain away. You know, he did that for 3 or 4 minutes, and then he went off and he played. And I was at work, so I wasn't there to see it. But Eva tells me that she just waited and watched and didn't say anything, didn't make a big deal about his finger, because he stopped holding it, he stopped crying. But she went out, and the finger that was red and swollen now was now normal again. And so she didn't say anything, but she waited until after dinner later that night. You know, and again, he's 2 and a half, he was almost 3 at this stage. So there was no association going throughout the day about his finger and about his prayer. But she asked him, Aiden, how's your finger? Oh, Jesus made it better. Our kids are growing up with a different mindset than what I grew up with. And I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to make any assumptions. But we here collectively, we live in a different culture. We live in a Western culture, westernized, that's very empirical. If I don't see it, touch it, smell it, taste it, then it's not real. Unless it's an emotion like love and all of these kinds of things. We have a box for those things. The intangibles, we call them. But do we have a box for the reality of the kingdom of heaven being here? Do we have a box, a place for the kingdom is here, and it's expressed through our words and through the things that we do? Dara, who's 10, you know, he's just a little bit on the cool side, you know. He's just right at that stage where almost a teenager, but not yet, but wants to be, and but yet he still gets excited about some of the things. He has this thing now where he knows what we're going to talk about in terms of the kingdom. And I was telling him about a time when I went to India. This is years ago now, but I went to India. We were teaching guys who were going to go off and plant churches, and I was telling Dara this story and about how these guys, you know, just talk about having nothing in terms of material things, but yet the peace and the happiness that these guys had. But I'm you know, making a big deal about how they had nothing and yet they were happy. You know, for Dara, who has PlayStation and wants a DS, and you know, they had nothing, and they were happy. And I said, and do you know what happened while we were there? And he says, I know. You said a prayer, and God gave them loads of money, and then they had loads of things. But it's just the connection that he's making. Okay, all right, you're going to tell me all the stuff that God did. But yet he knows that we have this expectation that when there's a problem, we say a prayer, expecting that God does something. And he's growing up, even though he's still growing up with his mindset that God is real. The kingdom of heaven is real, and it's expressed through the words that we say and through the things that we do. And I think it's all built around having a renewed mind. Do you know how Scripture talks about that? That our mind is to be renewed. Romans 12, Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect or acceptable will. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Another place Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. Now, these are axioms, these are truths, these are realities of the kingdom, that we are being transformed. It's not some blissful hope. It's not something that's way out there, but this is a reality of the kingdom. We are being transformed into whose likeness? Into the likeness of Jesus. Because see, when we've entered into that relationship, we've been brought in to the family of God. And there's no stagnation there. Of the increase of his government, there will be no end, right? Well, that government, that increase, affects everything in the kingdom. It affects everything. So it affects those who are in the kingdom. So of the increase of his government, there will be no end. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. And sometimes to see that, to grasp that, it takes a mind that is not rooted in this culture, in this... Is it real? Because it begs the question, what is real? What's real? The kingdom of heaven is real. You talk to people sometimes, and I don't want to go on a tangent here, but it just, maybe it's God, so I'll pursue it. But sometimes you talk to people who've had experiences, visitations of seeing angels, or dreams, or encounters where they've been brought into an experience, brought into a place where they've experienced the presence of God in a way that they've never had before, in a way that they've never heard described before. And when you talk to them afterwards, they'll often say things like, it was more real than anything else I've ever known. when I came away from that, I felt like I'm back into a place that's no longer real. But when I was in that moment, even though it was frightening and fearful and exciting and peaceful and loving all at the same time, there was something more real about that than there is about where I am now. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever talked to somebody? What is real? And sometimes to see that reality, it takes a transformed mind, a renewed mind. And again, this is something that we're trying to do in our family. It's something in our small group that we're spending a lot of time talking about. So Simon and Barry are probably sitting here going, oh, here he goes again. But the renewed mind, the renewed mind helps us to see what is real. Participating in the renewed mind, participating in the kingdom of God, helps us to know what's real. And it helps us to know what to say and what to do to release that kingdom. You see, Jesus is our model. Jesus, we often tend to put Jesus on this place of, well, okay, yeah, he's a man. Yeah, okay, he lived, but he was God, wasn't he? So that's how he did all of his stuff. That's how he healed all those people, and that's how he could calm the waves and the storms. Because, come on, he was God, wasn't he? Don't we do that? Jesus called himself the Son of Man. Jesus said himself, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. Jesus, as a man, is saying the Spirit of God. So he's talking about something outside his manhood, something outside his man self, saying the Spirit of God has what? Anointed me. Jesus was a man. He was in perfect relationship with God. He was a man who didn't sin out of perfect obedience. And he was a man who was anointed by the Spirit of God. And that's how, combination of all those things, that's how he was able to go do what he did. Because what did he say? I can only do what I see my Father do. I can only say what I hear my Father say. So in his relationship with God, he extended the kingdom through the words that he spoke and through the actions that he did. Okay? But he did that as a man. He represented God to us. Hebrews says that Jesus was the perfect representation of the Father, right? He's a perfect representation of the Father. So when you see Jesus, you see God. So if we can look at Jesus with this idea of a renewed mind and the reality of the kingdom being real, then we see something of what we're being transformed into. Okay, do you see where I'm coming from? Because again, is the kingdom of God real? Absolutely. Was Jesus a man? Absolutely. Was he in right relationship with God? Absolutely. Has his work on the cross and the sacrifice, his broken body and his shed blood, has that allowed us to come into a right relationship with God? Has it?
Yes.
So, Jesus, a man, rightly related to God, extends the kingdom of God through the words that he says and the things that he does. So if we are rightly related to God by participating in the sacrifice that Jesus paid for us, how much more then should we see the kingdom of God extended through our words and through our deeds? Now, I know I'm pushing the boat out. I know I am. But what I want us to see is, what are we missing? What are we missing? There's so much more. There is so much more that God has said. I want my people to represent me. And one of the ways that we can represent him, one of the ways that we can represent him is as an ambassador of the kingdom, we speak the words of the kingdom and we bring the realities of the kingdom through healing, through praying for, through contending for, through pronouncing, through declaring. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to jump a little bit. One of the things that Jesus did when he was here on the earth, and if you've heard me speak, you've heard me say this, I'm going to keep saying it. Jesus, when he was here, what did he do? He went through the towns and the villages doing what? Preaching, teaching, and healing. Okay? That's what Jesus did. It's all through the scriptures, all through the gospels. What did he tell his 12 disciples to do? Go out and do what he's done. Preach and teach and heal. Okay? Jesus' ministry was teaching, preaching, and healing. He sent his 12 to go do that. And then what happened later with the 70? The 70 he sent out and sent them to go preaching, teaching, and healing, didn't he? He said, the kingdom of heaven is where? At hand. So go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely you've received, now you freely give. Okay, he said that to the 12, he said it to the 70. At the end of his life, after his resurrection, before he went, before he ascended back into heaven, what did he tell his followers there? Go, okay, teach everyone to obey all that I have commanded you. Teaching, preaching, healing. Teach them to obey all I've commanded you. So if he's commanded his 12 and his 70 to go out and heal, and now they're to go teach everybody else, what's our commission? Same. Go. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, so freely give. Simple. Isn't it? But see, sometimes we forget that. We forget that, don't we? It gets lost in the maze of life and stuff and meetings, and we just forget that. Sometimes we set it aside because we've prayed for somebody and they didn't get healed. Well, it didn't work. Sometimes we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed and we haven't seen a breakthrough, so we just get tired and we say, oh. And other times we pray and we lose a loved one through that sickness or that disease, and we just think, oh, I can't. And sometimes through these pains and disappointments and trials, we develop a theology that's different from this, don't we? Well, God must have meant that, or God must have intended that, or God must have given me that disease, or God must have... And I know, for the sake of time, we can't go into all of that, but we sang about something this morning that I think is at the very heart of this. God is what? God is good. He's good. And I think part of the renewed mind is figuring out, what does that mean? What does it mean to say that God is good? You are good and your love endures. What does that mean? Just, okay, God, we know you can heal. Sure, you're God, you can do everything. Or does it go a little bit deeper? Well, God, you can heal, and you want us to be well. You don't want your people sick. Okay, that's a little bit deeper, but what is that based on? It's based on the fact that he's good. He's not up there with a big stick. He's not up there throwing down disease as a punishment. That's not who God is. God is good. And he wants health and healing. That's what Jesus died on the cross for. By his stripes, we are what? Yeah. So we have this goodness, we have this promise, we have this reality that happened on the cross. We have this demonstration, this modeling by Jesus throughout his life. We have his instruction to his followers to go do this. Does it always happen? Every person we pray for, does it always happen? No. Why? I don't know. Do we stop praying because we don't know? No, I don't think we should. In our small group, I mentioned we're going through this whole thing of renewing the mind. In our small group, we have people who are in situations that are just incredibly difficult in terms of disease or conditions in their bodies, conditions of loved ones. But we've been praying consistently now for a little over a year as a group. There's some people that we've been praying for a little over 2 years, consistently, regularly. God, we want to see healing here. We need to see the truth of your kingdom break through this disease. And we've been doing that consistently. And I won't give too many private details because it wouldn't be fair or appropriate, but I will say that in one particular family, in the case of a child who was diagnosed with epilepsy and autism, epileptic seizures have stopped in one case for a little over 7 months now, in another case for several weeks. Autism, in one case, the child has been put up for reassessment because the therapist is looking at the child saying, this child, if this child had autism the way it's written down that they have autism, this child should not be able to do the things that he's doing. So they're putting him up for reassessment. It's incredible. That's not explainable by the medical condition or by the, you know, the medical authorities, but it's explainable in the kingdom of heaven, isn't it? Absolutely. There are other people that we've continued to pray for, and we will continue to pray for until we see the reality of this promise manifested in their body. Because that disease does not exist in heaven. It should not exist here. And we are going to stand on that promise. We will stand on that promise, and we will contend for health and healing in the bodies of people in this church. Yes, we will. For Mary Finn, for David Ebbs, and for others. You know who you are. We will contend with you. Because it comes down to what is real. What has the Word of God promised? What has Jesus promised in his kingdom? And how do we deliver that? How do we participate in that? I don't have all the answers, folks. I don't know. Like I said, we've been praying for 2 years for one particular family in particular. And ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs. Lots of disappointments. But yet, we have to keep going. We have to fight this thing. So you may look at me and think, Janie, that's a bit too much for me. That's a bit over the top. All I'm telling you is what I believe this word says. And what I would like to do is to encourage you to say, okay, God, if what this guy's saying is true, will you show it to me in your word? Reveal this to me. If what Sean is saying is accurate and this is me, okay? I might be over the top. I've been called worse. Believe me, I know, I've been called worse. But if this is true, then there is so much more of the kingdom that we can see that we might not be seeing yet. But what are you prepared to do? What are you prepared to do? We're going for it. We're going to pray. We're going to contend and stand for health and healing. Because Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, healing all who were oppressed by the enemy. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. So where's the kingdom of heaven? It's here. It's at the end of your arm. Kingdom of heaven comes out through your words. There's loads more we can talk about. I promised David I wouldn't go an hour. There's loads more. There's loads more. But what I want to do is just take time to pray. In particular, if somebody's here who is sick, then we just want to pray that the kingdom would come. So, can I just ask you to stand? Can I just ask you, is there anybody here who is sick in any way? There's a disease, there's a condition, there's... If you just put your hand, up. Okay. And of those of you who raised your hand, is there anybody, it's where there's a pain at the moment, where there's just... There's a noticeable pain that's happening now. Okay, so we have a few people here, okay? Could those of you who raised your hands, if you don't mind, would you allow the people around you just to put their hands on your arm, on your back, on your shoulder, just that we can pray for you here. And then what we'll do is after we do that, maybe, you know, we can bring people up then for more prayer. But I just, again, the kingdom of heaven, it doesn't always operate up here. It operates through your hands and through your words. Holy Spirit, we ask you, we know that you're here, we thank you for your presence all morning, but now here, God, we ask you to come into the lives and the bodies of the people who have raised their hands in particular. God, we thank you for your goodness, we thank you for your mercy, we thank you for your kindness. Jesus, we thank you for the reality of your work on the cross, that you bore stripes in your body, that you shed your blood for our salvation, which includes healing and deliverance and freedom from sin. We thank you, God. And Jesus, we just speak healing over these diseases, over these conditions, over these sicknesses now in the name of Jesus. We speak the reality of your kingdom. We come against that disease. We come against the sickness in the name of Jesus. Okay. What we'll do is, if anybody wants to come forward and we'll take more time to pray, of those people, there were a couple of who raised the hand just to indicate that there was pain beforehand. We're just going to take the risk now and just ask, did you notice any difference in the pain in particular? If anybody wants to let us know. Okay, all right, well, we can, yeah? Yep, perfect, great. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you. Yeah, one of the things that we're learning in this whole thing is there's a difference between a miracle and healing. Sometimes, you know, the miraculous happens quickly, but oftentimes healing just takes time. So there's no, and please, anytime I ask, we're never looking for somebody to say more than what's actually happened. Wouldn't be fair, wouldn't be right, wouldn't be honest. So we're just asking, you know, for the reality of where things are. So for the sake of where we are in terms of time, what I'd like to do is whoever would like to come forward just to receive more prayer than, you know, of those who stood, raised your hand, please come. Anyone else, obviously, please come. If there's any other thing that you'd like us to pray for, anything other than sickness, then we want to do that as well. But there is tea and coffee happening at the back, so this will be the end of the service. You're free to go, you're free to stay, you're free to linger. For those who would like prayer, please come forward, and those who would like to help pray, then please come up as well. Okay? Ready? Go.